Welcome back to the Irish Football Archive Podcast. I'm Andrew Hall. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we will review the 2005 Classic game against Michigan. Before we jump into the game, let's review Notre Dame's 30-27 victory over USC. Despite controlling the game for the majority of the game, Notre Dame needed a late onside kick recovery to beat the Trojans. Brian Kelly landed his seventh victory against USC. This ranks third all-time behind Lou Holtz and Frank Leahy. Holtz and Leahy were 9-1-1 and 8-1-1, respectively. The Irish won their 15th consecutive home game. This streak is the longest since Notre Dame won 19 straight home contests between 1987 and 1990. The Irish will be favored in almost every home game until Notre Dame faces Clemson next November. If Notre Dame can win these contests, they would have a 22-game winning streak. However, getting to 22 is easier said than done. When we return, we will discuss the midseason awards on Twitter. Notre Dame has reached the halfway point of the season with a 5-1 record. They have a legitimate opportunity to finish 11-1 and still play for the national title. We asked our followers to vote on MVPs and top newcomers for the first half of the 2019 campaign. Here is what you said. For Defensive Newcomer of the Year, the nominees were Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Kyle Hamilton, and Jacob Lacey. Not surprisingly, with 63% of the vote, Kyle Hamilton came out on top. I understand everyone's obsession with Kyle Hamilton, and he's definitely going to be a great player. However, I would have voted for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in this situation because I feel like game to game, play to play, he has had a greater impact on the team. For Offensive Newcomer of the Year, there were four nominees: Javon McKinley, Tommy Trimble, Avery Davis, and Braden Lindsey. With 75% of the vote, Tommy Trimble came out on top. I would agree with that. Tommy Trimble definitely helped Notre Dame win against Louisville. His blocking and his catching have been on display the entire season, really propelling the Irish offense. So for defensive MVP, there was a tie. The four nominees were Alohi Gilman, Drew White, Julian Aquara, and Asmar Bilal. And it was split 40-40. Alohi Gilman and Asmar Bilal. I think this is an incredibly difficult category because no one has really stood out like a Drew Tranquil or a Tavon Coney in 2018. So in some ways, that's a positive for the defense because no one is really standing out because everyone is doing a great job. Certainly, Alohi Gilman, 38 tackles and an interception, has really helped and really paces the Notre Dame defense. Bilal's development really has made a difference in this defense because of the lack of linebacker depth, or at least proven linebacker depth. His 35 tackles and 5 tackles for a loss definitely deserve a lot of attention, and I think Bilal would deserve the MVP, even though I think you could make a case for more than four nominees that we had for this category. For Offensive MVP of the Year, there were four nominees as well: Ian Book, Tony Jones Jr., Chase Claypool, and Cole Kmet. There's a lot of different ways that you can look at this. With 58% of the vote, Tony Jones was your offensive MVP of the year so far. However, Ian Book has been very steady. I think a lot of people were expecting more out of Book, so that is why he did not win. He only received 8% of the vote. And Cole Kmet received 33% of the vote. I think if Cole Kmet played in all six games so far, he definitely would be the MVP. I would make a case that he still is the MVP because when he returned from injury, he made such a great impact and change on how Notre Dame's offense looked. Prior to Kmet, Notre Dame's offense was okay. It definitely did well. It scored 35 and 66 points, respectively, in the first two games without Kmet. However, there definitely is a more dynamic element with Kmet catching the ball and blocking. You can make the argument that he was the best player on the field against Georgia. So that is why I would vote for Kmet. And I think that'll play out for the rest of the year. When we return, we're going to discuss the 2005 game against Michigan.
Rivalry that began in 1887. From their fight songs to their fighting spirit, two football programs drenched in tradition, their loyal faithful following their every move. The coaches and players have become legends. In these games, there have been heroes made every Saturday. They're the two winningest teams in college football history. This is Notre Dame, Michigan.
Charlie Weiss agreed to become the head coach of Notre Dame on December 12, 2004. He immediately said that he wanted a nasty football team. During the 2004 season, the Irish finished 6-6. They had moments of greatness, like their wins over number 8 Michigan and number 9 Tennessee. However, they also had several duds. In the opener, it looked like Weiss's promise of a nasty football team was coming true. The Irish blasted Pittsburgh in a 42-21 victory. However, their next game was a much tougher matchup against number 3 Michigan on the road. My friend Brett and I attended the game as 16-year-olds.
So, Brett, we went to the 2005 Notre Dame-Michigan game up in Michigan. What do you remember about the atmosphere and the fans there?
Well, I remember it being very hostile environment for the Notre Dame fans. When we were walking into the stadium, I remember there was some 70 or 80-year-old man in a Notre Dame sweatshirt, and he was getting attacked verbally by a few Michigan fans, but he wasn't backing down. So, and then in the stadium, I think we were being heckled, being told to get our cheering out now because we're not going to be cheering after the game. Turns out we kicked their ass.
That's right, because I think that was when Notre Dame drove down first drive of the game, scored, we were cheering, and then that's when that lady decided to interject that. I also remember, I don't remember the old man, but I also remember the lady, was it a lady or it was a guy, when we were walking, I think, to like the concession stand, they said, "Not today, boys, not today."
Oh, I remember that one too. But I don't think they've been cheering ever since that game.
Notre Dame scored on their opening drive. Junior quarterback Brady Quinn drove the team 77 yards. He hit Remo McKnight on a 5-yard touchdown pass to hit pay dirt.
If it's not a quarterback draw, that's a pass. And here's the pass, and there's the touchdown. Remo McKnight for the touchdown. Perfect looking drive for Notre Dame.
Michigan kicker Garrett Revis connected on a 38-yard field goal late in the first quarter to make the score 7-3. Midway through the second quarter, Notre Dame mounted their second and only other touchdown drive. Unfortunately for the Irish, McKnight suffered a broken leg during this drive and would miss the rest of the season. His presence was definitely missed the rest of the year. The drive was capped by a 5-yard touchdown pass from Brady Quinn to Jeff Samardzija to make the score 14-3 in favor of Notre Dame.
Fake to him and throw them down this time.
Both big tight ends are in there. Let's see if we see a play action. There it comes. There it goes. Bubbled. Caught. Still got it. Samardzija, touchdown. Second week in a row for Samardzija with a touchdown catch.
Neither team scored in the third quarter. Safety Tom Zbikowski ended a Michigan scoring opportunity with an interception inside the 10-yard line.
He stays in there on a second down and 9. Kenny straight drop this time. Fires to the corner. It's intercepted at the goal line by Zbikowski. And there's that 10-4 speed coming the other way. First turnover of the ball game, and it is costly to Michigan.
Kicker DJ Fitzpatrick booted a 43-yard field goal to make the score 17-3.
A field goal of 43 yards. DJ Fitzpatrick. Samardzija is the holder from the right hash, trying to give him a 2-touchdown lead. Fitzpatrick, kick on the way. He got it.
Safety Chinnadom Ndukwe made the biggest play of the game. With Michigan at the 1-yard line threatening to score, the Irish safety recovered a Michigan fumble, helping seal the Notre Dame victory.
About the foot and a half line. Henny takes it, a quarterback sneak again. He almost lost the ball. And the ball is out.
The ball came out. Notre Dame man came out of the pile with the ball.
A review, indisputable video evidence, shows the runner fumbled the ball prior to the goal line. The ball was recovered before any whistle. We have a touchback, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's got the football.
When we return, we will speak with blueandgold.com staff writer Andrew Mentok about the upcoming Michigan game.
So joining me is blueandgold.com and Blue and Gold Illustrated staff writer Andrew Mentok. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So give us your first impression of the first half of the season.
Kind of first impression looking back on it now. Obviously, losing to Georgia is disappointing. It may look even a little more disappointing given the fact they lost to South Carolina. But I think overall pretty positive impression. I was looking the other day, and Notre Dame actually has a chance to be ranked in the top 10 in the AP poll for the first time since, I think, 1990. So they're doing some pretty impressive things. And as we kind of said on our Blue and Gold podcast the other day, a lot of things for Notre Dame is trending up. Like the offensive line is starting to play better more recently. The linebackers, after kind of struggling at the beginning of the year, are really trending upward. So I think Notre Dame has had a successful season so far, and they do look like they are set to improve as the season continues.
So Notre Dame opened as a 4-point underdog. The last time I checked, they're now only a 1-point underdog. Were you surprised that Notre Dame are underdogs on the road against Michigan?
I was. I talked to Chris Bayless from the Wolverine a couple weeks ago, and he said at the time he thought Notre Dame would beat them by a touchdown to 10 points at the time. Obviously, Michigan kind of bounced back against Penn State, but I thought Notre Dame might be favored slightly. I actually talked to a guy I know who's kind of on the bookmaker side of things to ask him, because I was surprised by that today. And he said he thought it was a coin flip game and that Michigan was the better team for the majority of the game against Penn State, which I kind of found that, again, a little surprising. But yeah, I think it sounds like a lot of money's been put on Michigan too, which obviously has ripped the line. So it's definitely interesting.
So what is your impression of this Michigan football team? You mentioned, they played well for the majority of the game against Penn State, but they also really struggled getting down 21-0. So what is your impression of the Wolverine football team?
I think, I don't know, it's kind of hard to have a real strong impression because they've obviously looked really bad through much of the year. And I mean, almost like my impression is that our take on it is that they've looked the best in, I guess, the second half against Penn State and still lost. Maybe like their peak all year. And I know a lot of people kind of looking at the game this weekend, say, talks about, you know, Jim Harbaugh at home. But I mean, Army, who hasn't actually been that good this year, outplayed them earlier in the year. I mean, if it weren't for a bad interception on the goal line, Army probably wins that game in regulation and also obviously had a chance to win it at a field goal. So its defense definitely isn't, you know, even if stats people might kind of indicate that it's comparable to last year, I definitely don't think as defense is as good. Obviously, they lost some really talented players, but I think Notre Dame, I was surprised they weren't favored in this game, and I guess the only indication that they wouldn't be is if that second half against Penn State is more who this Michigan team is, but that would be kind of ignoring their first six games of the year as well.
Yeah, very true. What does Notre Dame need to take advantage of on Saturday night to come out on top?
I mean, I guess the first thing that people probably want to talk about is the turnover margin, which I think is like, especially like us in the media talked about that a bunch for Notre Dame before the USC game, and then USC didn't even turn the ball over. And I want to say Michigan only turned it over against Penn State once. I think it was just an interception, so they didn't even fumble. So I think that's a big thing, but I think the biggest thing is they need to get pressure on the quarterback. Shea Patterson hasn't looked good under pressure. And Notre Dame, obviously, with the defensive ends, that's definitely something that I think they can and will take an advantage of, especially since Michigan's offensive line has definitely been worse this year than they kind of expected it to be.
So it's still early on in the week, but are you leaning one way or the other for Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, gambling is legal here in Indiana now, but if I were going to bet on this, I would probably probably lean towards taking Notre Dame straight up. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a tough environment. Michigan could be starting to play better, but, you know, Brian Kelly's had a lot of success after a bye week. I want to say he's 11-1 since he's been at Notre Dame, so I think that's definitely a positive indication that they've been using this time well. And kind of like I said earlier, I do think that you know, the linebackers for Notre Dame are starting to play better. The defensive end started looking better. You know, kind of as we got to the midway point of the season, and you know, I think a lot of it will still be on Ian Book, which I know might make some Notre Dame fans nervous, but I think he played pretty well other than that interception against Georgia on the flea flicker, not the one that Chris Fink dropped. But yeah, I would lean towards Michigan. It probably will be somewhat close, but I think Notre Dame probably comes out in the end.
Well, Andrew, thank you for being with us. Can you tell us how to find some of your work and the work of your fellow writers?
Yeah, so our website is blueandgold.com, but it's also just notredame.rivals.com if that's easier to remember. And so we have a bunch of content. The website gets added to kind of throughout the day. And then we also have Blue and Gold Illustrated, which is a magazine which is comes out weekly during the season, then monthly in the off season. So you can subscribe to one or both, depending on if you, I guess, still like to read with the actual paper and ink in your hands or on a screen.
Our next podcast will be available for streaming and download on November 11th. You can listen on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you use. Please subscribe, rate, and review our show. It really helps, and it is much appreciated. Stay tuned to our YouTube page for full game replays of every Notre Dame game this season, as well as some throwbacks. We recently purchased some new equipment, that will help speed up the process. Thank you to Blue and Gold staff writer Andrew Mentok and Brett Arney for joining the show. I also want to thank our sponsor Anchor and all of our members on Patreon. Thank you to ABC Sports for the audio that was played during this episode. Until next time, go Irish.